Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hit throughout the rest of the game, and it's hurting more now.
Comes down to one last play, and it's going to be getting longer by the second. You're all the way back at the 30-yard line. Now you can step into it. Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line, and the ball is caught! Caught! It's a miracle! It's Noah Brown! Oh my goodness! This town is going crazy!
Yeah, that was 50 weeks ago today, I believe. 50, not 52. Not a full year since the miracle at Northwest. In Landover, where tonight we will be for Monday Night Football.
Ben Standing called it Noah's Ark on Twitter earlier.
Yeah,
today.
I remember. I remember. I think I used that, if I'm not mistaken. That was a pretty common refrain, Noah's Ark. There was some other one with Noah, and I can't remember what it was. Tonight there will be nothing with Noah. Because he just doesn't play. I mean, I feel bad for saying that, but I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. Football's a very tough game. Unfortunately, Noah Brown, when he's in there, can help you. He's just so rarely healthy that he can't really help you a lot. But man, did he find himself in the right spot 50 weeks ago. And as the Chicago Bears return to Northwest Stadium for Monday Night Football. That's right. ESPN's breaking it all out. They got SVP. They've got, I don't know if SVP is going to be at the game because they have the stupid dual Monday Nighter between Atlanta and Buffalo tonight. Instead of, I don't know, actually putting these games on Sunday in a normal, traditional slot. Nope. Gotta have two Monday night games to distract everybody and drive everybody nuts. So I don't know if usually when they do the dual Monday nighters, SVP and his crew are not at a game. Usually. But being in Washington, maybe. I don't know. But Joe Buck will be here. Troy Aikman will be here. Lisa Salters is here. I think, what's her name? Laura Rutledge is here. So you got a big game feel. And we're 7 hours away. And over the next 3 hours, we'll take you through it as best we can. We'll hear from Johnny Newton. I caught up with him in the locker room on Saturday afternoon when I made the sojourn out to Command Land in Ashburn. That's right. I was going to go meet with a couple of LA Rams coaches in Baltimore or in the Maryland area, but I love you so much. I am so dedicated to my craft that I said, you know what? Commanders have a practice. I got to show up. I got to bounce around in the locker room. And I caught up with Johnny Newton. It was a good conversation. He had a big pass deflection last week that led to the Mikey Sanristil interception at the goal line, had the sack starting to come on, and he's had flashes, and he's had moments. It just hasn't been consistent enough. Maybe this is the tip of the iceberg. Maybe this, along with Jordan McGee, who knows? Maybe that's what makes this defense. If they can get consistent Johnny Newton, and if they can get the kind of contribution they got out of McGee, granted, in a small amount of snaps, 12 last week in LA, if they can get those consistent contributions just from those two guys, maybe the defense takes a big step up. And guess what? They are going to need it. They are going to need it in a big-time way because Caleb Williams and Little Benny and the Bears are in town tonight. And then 5 days from now, after a three-hour road trip on a really short week, which nobody wants to talk about except me, they have to take on Cowboy B's, Dallas Cowboys, along with Dakota on Sunday in Arlington on a very short week with a pissed-off Cowboy team with CeeDee Lamb back and others back. And we don't know about Sam Cosmi. And we don't know about Terry McLaurin. And we don't know about Noah Brown. And we don't know about, you can fill in the rest of it, Jonathan Jones. He might be back. Who knows? He was put on IR a couple of weeks ago. I heard an interesting conversation between Standig and Sheehan on the way in. We're talking about IR usage. Listen, I would not have put, based on the information we got, and it was weird and wild and wacky for a couple of days, I would not have put Terry McLaurin on IR either. I would have put Noah Brown. Noah Brown is a guy that, again, not to be mean, but he needs extra time to even have a chance. To even have a chance to stay on the field. He's not a guy that if some doctor says 1 to 2 weeks, he's coming back in 1 to 2 weeks in all likelihood. He's a guy that is probably going to take 3 to 4 weeks, or he's going to get re-injured right away. And that's just the reality. Okay? So I would have put Noah Brown on IR. I would not have put Terry McLaurin on IR. And now Terry's missing his third consecutive game tonight. And we'll see about, again, on a short week. They're not going to have a semi-full practice until Thursday. And they'll probably combine Wednesday and Thursday together. But I don't know how they're going to do their normal, typical veteran rest days, i.e. the Bobby Wagners of the world. I don't know if that means no Bobby Wagner until Friday. I have no idea. We'll have to see. But it's going to be a compressed week, and it's going to be a challenging week from a defensive perspective of trying to control Little Benny and the Bears, Caleb Williams, and then Dak Prescott in a span of 5.5 days. That's going to be a real big challenge. And if they can get Johnny Newton to step up, if they can get Jordan McGee to step up, if they can get others to play well, then we'll see. Then they have a chance. I would say they have a pretty good chance. But, you know, there's one other way that you can win these games while not being perfect and while not being great defensively and while not doing everything that everybody wants you to do. Right? There's one other way. You know how that way is? I think you know. I think you know. Turnovers. That's right. I knew you would know. But I told you anyway. Turnovers. The Commanders have to get turnovers this week. Tonight, Sunday, this week, every game, the rest of the year. They are simply not built to be a shutdown defense. They're built to be a bend, occasionally break defense. That's what they are. If you notice, they finally got a turnover in Atlanta, and they got two last week. And what was the message all week long? The Quan Martin hit and forced fumble. Now, I'm surprised he didn't get fined, or at least if he did, I missed it, because that was helmet to helmet. I don't want him to get fined, but video was pretty clear, at least on one angle that I saw. I don't know. But the bottom line is, they got that turnover, which stopped the bleeding and could have made it, if that drive continued, a 13-0, 17-0 game, and maybe a loss, and maybe a complete wipeout in Los Angeles last week into a win, right? And obviously they had to do much more, but they haven't done enough in that category, in that area, for me to feel good about saying, hey, they should be able to get two or three turnovers tonight. Nope. Got to see it before I believe it. They only have three on the year. Three. And all three have come in the last two games. One win, one loss. Three in five games. That's not good. Not good. As a matter of fact, it's pretty poor. It's tied for third worst with the Baltimore Ravens. And just ahead of, ironically, weirdly, the Green Bay Packers, who only have two takeaways. Remember last year when Xavier McKinney had like eight interceptions in his first like eight games with the Packers?
Oh,
or some crazy thing like that?
Yeah.
You know, realize the Packers only have two takeaways all year so far? And they played now an extra game than the Commanders. Two. With Micah Parsons and everything. Two. And the Jets finally got there first yesterday and immediately turned it into a, oh no, we have the ball. How about that performance by Justin Fields yesterday, huh, boys and girls? Yeah, if only there was a radio show that had been screaming about Justin Fields since he was at Ohio State. If only there was one. If only there was one. Instead of listening to the Brendan Darnomics of the world scream about analytics and APY per whatever nonsense that you people use, living in that shoebox of hell that you can't find your way out of. Oh, yeah, that's going to bring me to another point here. But anyway, real quickly, nothing analytical about this. The Commanders have three takeaways this year. They need two minimum tonight to win this game, in my opinion. And even two does not guarantee you a win. I think three probably would, as long as the offense is somewhat right. And that's another part of this. We don't know if it's going to be somewhat right because we know Terry. We know McLaurin. We know Terry. We know Noah. We know Sam Cosmi. We don't know about Deebo Samuel. Now, do I think Deebo will play? If I had to guess, if I had to make a bet on it, yes. I don't know. I don't know, especially with the rain and the wet conditions. You know, doesn't appear like it's going to be as bad as the original forecast, but still, you don't know. You don't know. So, because their offense is going to be compromised at the very minimum, you hope that Deebo can be Deebo and that Deebo can play, because obviously without Deebo, no Deebo, no Terry, no Noah. Like, not to say that they can't win that game because Chicago's defense isn't very good. But come on. I mean, that's a hard ask. especially being that Chicago's been off for 15 days and should be fresh and rested. Now, again, that can work against you, as we keep mentioning. We're the only ones that mention this. Could take you a while to get the oil running through the engine. I asked Dan Quinn about this the other day. You know, and I wondered if the practice week after the bye week kind of neutralizes and negates some of that lengthy time off. And clearly, and he answered it this way, like, here's what we do. I don't know them, but, you know, whatever. He thinks it minimizes it. Sure. But you don't tackle in practice. You're only in pads once a week, right? It's very controlled. There's nothing controlled, per se, about an actual game, not to mention the physicality. So, we don't know. Maybe that helps Washington. Maybe it doesn't help Washington. I don't know. Here's one thing I do know. The whole world, at least that I listen to, that I consume, all of my colleagues, all of my friends, think this is going to be a walk in the park when it comes to running the football, because that's what the numbers tell them. That's what the numbers tell them. And that's the only way they can tell you what they think is going to happen. Well, here's the problem. I know the numbers are daunting and heavily in favor of the Washington Commanders when it comes to specifically running the football against this Chicago Bear team, which has been awful defending the run. Awful. And while they won't have Grady Jarrett tonight, they do have TJ Edwards. They do have Jaquan Brisker, it looks like. They do get Kyler Gordon back. I think the Bears are going to be a lot tougher to run on this year, tonight, than all of the shoebox of numbers and analytics say. So, while I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the Commanders are going to be shut down running the ball, because I love Bill, the offensive line is playing great. I do think they can run the football and run it effectively tonight. Do I think they're going to run for over 200 yards? I'd be very surprised, despite all the numbers. Again, this show will use numbers to illustrate points. This show will not be blind and ignorant to reality. Reality is the Bears have heard for nothing but more than 2 weeks how bad they are at stopping the run. You don't think they're going to try and play it differently? You don't think they're going to be more aggressive, try to fill gaps? You don't think they're going to be a little bit more hell-bent on trying to stop the number one rushing team in the NFL? You don't think any of that? Again, that doesn't mean they're going to shut down the Commanders. But common sense, not numbers, common sense tells me this is not going to be anywhere near as easy as some are painting it out to be. Common sense tells me that. Again, they've had 2 weeks off, plus they're getting some of their guys back, and they've been getting kicked in the teeth. If you're a man, if you're an adult man, you don't think that you're going to come out with a more inspired effort? A more coordinated, inspired effort? You don't think little Benny Johnson and the Bears worked on stopping the run? Come on. Come on. Of course they did. I wanted to start there, in addition to everything else that we covered in the opening segment, because again, everybody thinks that's the way the Commanders win this game. And listen, if the Commanders run for $175, they're probably going to win. If they run for $150, I still say probably a toss-up, because there's other things that I'm worried about. And what if they don't run for $150? What if they run for $115? What happens then? We will see. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Just getting rocking and rolling here on a game day Monday. That's right, Monday Night Football in town. Bears, Commanders, tonight. Coverage all day long. Johnny Newton to come. Your phone calls, your picks, your predictions. And the greatest thing that never happened in this rivalry. We'll discuss that next as well on the Team 980. Streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, good to have you with us. I mean, how many times have we heard that tune, right? I mean, people cry and whine about the NBA on NBC and, oh, the tune is coming. Oh, that's enough. But that's pretty iconic, isn't it?
Yeah, and they've – how long has ESPN had money? I feel like all of my life.
No. ESPN used to have Sunday Night Football.
Okay.
It's been about 20 years, roughly, that ESPN has had the Monday Night package.
I'm 30.
But they came up on the Sunday Night package.
Uh-huh.
Before the Sunday Night package – so back when you were a young little rascal –
okay.
A young little caterpillar.
Young lad.
A young lad. A wee little lad. The Monday Night Football matchup used to be the supreme matchup of the week,
mm-hmm.
right? It is what is now the Sunday Night matchup, if that makes sense.
Yes, gotcha.
So when ESPN got the Monday Night package, NBC got the Sunday Night package, which was the first time back in the NFL for NBC in years, right? Because they used to have it. Then Fox got the NFC package away from them, and NBC was out, and da-da-da-da-da. So NBC gets back in. They get the Sunday Night package. That becomes the premier A-plus blue chip package. And then ESPN pays like three times the amount that NBC paid to get Sunday Night Football for Monday Night Football, which was the most absurdly dumb deal in the history of television. Okay? And nobody cared. I cared. Nobody else cared. It was absurd. It was almost three times the amount. And they also did not get even close to the best matchup of the week. Or, at that point, I think any playoff games. And certainly no Super Bowls. But they did it, and I guess they haven't looked back. But they have devalued Monday Night Football by putting these constant weeks with two games on at the same time. They have devalued it. They have. But it is still, because it is in prime time, because it is the last game of the week, because it is usually the only game going on at that time, usually. But again, they've devalued the package by putting these two games on every other week or whatever they're doing. But it's still, it is still special. It's just not as special as it once used to be. It's just not. Period. I mean, I hope it's worked out financially for them. It's not that they've heard it. Whatever. Not my problem to deal with. Real quickly, and then we'll get to the trending alert, and then we'll get to your calls. 301-230-0980. The Chicago Bears, the Bears, have allowed 6.72 yards per play. That is every kind of play, run, pass. The NFL average is 5.35. So the Bears are more than 1.3 yards per play, run, pass, more than any other, more than the NFL average. They're 6.72. The NFL average is 5.35. Rushing yards per game, they're allowing 164.5. The NFL average is 112.6. Rushing yards per play, 6.15. The NFL average, 4.30. So right there, every broadcaster, every analyst in their right mind is going to tell you there is no way that the Bears are going to be able to stop, control, limit the Washington run offense, which is number one in the NFL. No way. And listen, there should probably be no way that they can get this done and stop it. I don't think they're going to stop it, but I don't think they're going to get bludgeoned by it. Call me crazy. When you get called out, when you get lambasted, you like that word, don't you?
Yeah, I love that. That was great.
When you get absolutely just hammered, you suck, you guys are weak, you guys are soft, for a bye week by the Chicago media against the number one ranked Commanders offense, run offense, you don't think that's going to stick in your craw a little bit? You don't think that's going to put a little piss in your Wheaties? You don't think they're going to come in with an inspired effort tonight? And hey, maybe an inspired effort is only allowing 140 rushing yards instead of 165, which they do on average. But you know what? They hold the Commanders to 140, and there's no Terry, and we know there's no Noah, and there might be no Debo. That might be enough. That might be enough. And that's why we'll give you the numbers. We do not make all of our arguments based on numbers. We do not live in the shoebox of analytics like so many others do. We'll tell you what they say. We'll use common sense. We'll use rational adult thought to actually extrapolate our point. And maybe we'll be wrong. Maybe the Commanders will run. I mean, they did in weeks 1 and 3. Ran for over 200 yards at home. It's not like they haven't done it twice already this year. So maybe they will. I don't feel it tonight. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I don't feel it tonight. I don't feel that tonight. I feel like 140, 135, which may be good enough. But I don't feel like this big explosion that everybody's expecting. I could be wrong. 301-230-0980. What else could I be wrong about? What might you be wrong about? What fear do you have going into tonight? And the best move that was never made. I'll get into that on the other side as well. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980. The Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and tune in time for a trending alert. All right, we'll start with NFL news. Anthony Richardson fractured, apparently, an eye bone yesterday during pregame warmups, and now he's likely to miss multiple games, according to a report from ESPN and out in Indianapolis. He is the backup to Daniel Jones. He was hurt in what is being described as a freak pregame accident with a stretch band. Obviously a difficult injury, and they're calling it just a freak accident, but Anthony Richardson has dealt with plenty of those. Riley Leonard, the sixth-round pick from Notre Dame, is now Daniel Jones' backup, at least for the next couple of games. Meanwhile, from the college ranks, Bill Belichick, the former Patriots head coach, and current North Carolina coach, is calling reports of his leaving North Carolina completely and categorically false. He said he is not looking for a buyout or trying to leave here. There's zero truth to any of that. I'm glad I'm here. We're working towards our goals. Again, tonight, Monday Night Football, the Chicago Bears in town for Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders. 3-2 are the Commanders, 2-2 are the Bears, coming off their bye week. Kickoff just after 8 o'clock from Northwest Stadium. We will have coverage all day long. Linnell Willingham has burgundy and gold today. And then the kickoff show leading you right up until kickoff. Postgame on your way out. Meanwhile, there's a Bills-Falcons game at 7 o'clock down in Atlanta as well. Caps with the day off after sweeping the New York Rangers and the New York Islanders over the weekend. They'll host the Tampa Bay Lightning tomorrow night. And that's what's trending.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The boys out in the bullpen, Ryan Clary specifically, Corporate Clary, busting chops for the old rooster by asking who Lane Hutson is. Now, you probably don't know either, but I know because I'm smart.
Is that relation to the Jordan? Jordan?
No. That's a different Hutson causing all sorts of problems.
Gotcha.
This is the Montreal Canadiens defenseman who is a hot shot, who just signed.
We're sure he's not related. Like, is this confirmed? No relation?
Yeah. Well, I mean, as far as I know.
Okay. But it's a possibility.
Yeah. But he just signed an 8-year, $8.85 million per year average annual value extension with the Montreal Canadiens this morning. $8.85, $55 million in signing bonus money, according to Emily Kaplan of ESPN. And Clary goes, Russell, who's Lane Hutson? And then they all immediately shut it down and start bitching and moaning about how terrible hockey is. Meanwhile, it's the greatest sport on earth. It's awesome. It's way better than the gobbledygook that you people like. It's awesome. It's great. It's tremendous. I watched the Capitals sweep away the Islanders and the Rangers back-to-back nights over the weekend.
It's awesome. It's great. It's the greatest sport in the world.
It's awesome. It's awesome. It's very good.
It's very good.
It's very good. You should try it one time. Anyway. By the way, so I wanted to get to this before we get to the calls. Remember when Cliff Kingsbury was hired by the Washington Commanders? Late January of 2024. Remember when? Immediately, people started connecting the dots. and trying to play fantasy GM and trying to start the rumor mill and say, oh, look at what we have cooking here. Yeah. You don't know what I'm talking about, do you? Do you know, AMAC?
When
Cliff Kingsbury was hired by the Washington Commanders in late January of last year, meaning 2024 calendar year, before the season, obviously, under Dan Quinn, he was pulled away from Las Vegas and ultimately signed here.
Right? You're talking about the Kingsbury to Caleb Williams connection?
Yep.
As his, was he like an offensive analyst at USC?
Yep. And immediately those rumors started. Yeah. And I got to say, my guy Adam Schefter stirred the pot big time. Mm-hmm. You know, he put it out amongst others. But when Adam Schefter puts something out that's more rumor and innuendo than anything, that picks up a lot of legs, right? That picks up a lot of steam.
Was it? He's the one who was like, Caleb Williams was very concrete about he was going to control where he wanted to go.
Because
I remember that being the big buzz, like he was going to, and that's why a lot of people thought he would land in Washington.
He may have been. That I don't remember, but there was a lot of that too, right? So, and a lot of people, because Caleb is from here, put two and two together and said, okay, Caleb is going to not go want to go to the Bears. He's going to want to go home. And then when the Commanders hired Cliff Kingsbury as their OC in late January, everybody that had an opinion out there stirred the hornet's nest and said, oh, wait a second. Cliff Kingsbury, Caleb Williams. Caleb wants to go home. Caleb's from D.C. Caleb doesn't want to go to the Bears. And all of the hoopla started. And people wanted the Commanders to trade up from number two to number one for Caleb Williams. This show did not. We made it very, very clear. We had no interest in that at all, period. Not only because I didn't believe that Caleb Williams was as great as everybody else thought he was. I thought, hey, man, you can run all over the place like a crazy man in the Pac-12 where they don't play defense. You try some of that in the NFL, you're going to get squashed like a bug. Okay? And so far, Caleb Williams has stayed healthy. And so far, Caleb Williams has made plenty of plays, right? But we all know that consistently, Caleb Williams has not necessarily been the most consistent quarterback. Like, if you watch the tape, if you watch the film, you'll see Caleb Williams make throws that'll make your jaw drop. And you'll see him tonight. But then he'll throw one into the ground, or he'll make a boneheaded decision on the run and try and get away with one, trying to throw across his body, across the middle of the field, and it'll get picked off or nearly picked off. That's Caleb in a nutshell. And, you know, to some degree, you can live with some of that if the rest of the team around you is good. The problem for the Bears right now is their defense sucks. They spent a lot of money on their offensive line. They invested a lot at wide receiver and at tight end. But now, how do they run the ball better? And how do they get Caleb to be more consistent? So, the reason why I bring this up is, could you imagine if the Commanders would have been so stupid, so naive, so dumb, so reckless, like many of you wanted them to be, to trade up to number one for Caleb Williams, for the right to take Caleb Williams. Could you imagine that? There would be no Marshawn Lattimore, which I'm sure many of you would appreciate. There would probably be no Laremy Tunsil. You know what also there might not be? Johnny Newton. Mikey Sanristil. Ben Sinnott. There might not be any of those guys. There might be one. There might not be any. There might be no Laremy Tunsil. there might be no Marshawn Lattimore. There might be no Deebo Samuel. Because when you trade up from just 2 to 1, you pay a king's ransom to have that exclusivity. And presumably, they would have only traded up from 2 to 1 to get one guy, Caleb Williams. Now, the Bears say he was never available. They were never going to trade, make that trade. But if you would have offered a king's ransom, maybe they would have. And maybe the Commanders would have taken Jaden Daniels anyway. I doubt it. But maybe they have a higher evaluation of Caleb Williams than I do. I am not a big Caleb Williams guy, sorry. I think he's wonderfully talented. But he is reckless. He is erratic. He is inconsistent. And that was what he was at USC. Never mind in the NFL. Is he going to get better with little Benny Johnson and the Bears? Sure. Is he guaranteed to have any kind of legitimate success, big time success for a number one overall pick who has been given carte blanche, who has been given weapon after weapon? I mean, maybe he'll be good. Maybe. Tough division, man. Tough to do it with no defense or limited talent on defense. And no running game, for the most part. Right? Tough to do it. I don't know, man. I am so thankful that the Commanders got Jaden Daniels, number one. Let's start there. I think that's obvious. Number two, and most importantly, could you imagine if they had traded the number two overall pick, a second round pick that turned out to be number 36, another second round pick that they made in a trade, a fourth round pick or a fifth round pick, and maybe more, just to move up from 2 to 1. Think about that. As you watch tonight's game, think about that. 301-230-0980. We'll get out to your calls shortly. Hang tight. Just wanted to bring all of that up, but we'll start knocking them down next. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we were going to sneak in a call here before 2 o'clock, but we have breaking news in the NFL. Brian Callahan is out as head coach of the Tennessee Titans. Fired after a miserable performance and loss to the Raiders. Remember, it was just a week ago that they were so resilient in that big comeback win in Arizona after DeMarcado let the ball go and all that wacky stuff. 2 weeks in a row out west proved too much to be true. They were just destroyed yesterday. And the Raiders, we know, are not that good. But the Tennessee Titans, after, what was it, 19 games? 23 games. 23 games. 4-19 as head coach. 4-19. So general manager Mike Borgonzi, who you knew when he was hired, right? I think he may have hired Callahan. Let me double check that. I thought that was Rand Carthon, their former GM, but I could be wrong on that. I got to check that. So I don't want to say that. But either way, that guy's the GM. He comes from Kansas City. You could deduce that maybe somebody from Kansas City, who knows? I mean, maybe he's a big fan of Steve Spagnuolo and thinks he's going to, be a better head coach third time around. I don't know. Or maybe he does what everybody sort of stupidly feels obligated to, which is listening to the analytics amigos and hires an offensive coach, because apparently that's the only way you can win in the NFL, because Kyle Shanahan is one, and Matt LaFleur is one, and Sean McVay is one. But defensive coaches can't win, except if you just exclude Dan Quinn.
Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick a long time ago, yes. Yeah. Now, I will say, Aaron Glenn not off to the greatest of starts. Sean McDermott would be a more modern-day example of a defensive-minded head coach who has won and won consistently from the jump up in Buffalo. But, you know, can't hire a defensive-minded head coach because that's just not allowed. Anyway, Brian Callahan, son of Bill, out. I don't know. They haven't apparently named an interim head coach that I've seen yet. We'll try and work on details of that. I don't know. I don't know if Bill's still going to stay. I have no idea. But Brian Callahan out as head coach of the Tennessee Titans. And certainly, I would just say, a name to potentially keep in mind if Cliff Kingsbury decides to leave and become a head coach in the NFL once again. On the Team 980, we continue along. Stay with us. Streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and tune in. Your calls coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.